Thank you, Mr. Sadlins. Good to see all of you. Appreciate the opportunity to come down and share the Sabbath with you. As far as that accent goes, I lost it a long time ago. I was in the Navy 4 years, and a New Orleans accent will clash with all the other accents from the different parts of the country, so you don't, there's no chance of it surviving. Every once in a while, someone will say, "You must be from New Orleans." I don't know how they picked up on that, but that's cool. Speaking of cool, there's a cool something coming from the back 40 here, and it feels good. Well, I wanted to share something with you today. I think it's vitally important to all in whom dwells the Holy Spirit. And I want to start by asking you some questions like Mr. Lettier did. The first one is what is one of the most important keys to our conversion? Number two, what quality must we have in order to be and to remain teachable? Three, what is a single key to an abiding relationship with Almighty God and with others? Four, what is the defining element of our identity as Christians as laid forth in the Word of God? Five, what is a powerful deterrent against the sinful nature we were all born with? And lastly, number six, what is the most effective way to live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit? That's a lot of area there, I realize that. But there is one word that will satisfy every one of those. And we're going to talk about that one word today. And that word is humility. Humility, true humility is the title. Humility produces a whole range of amazing benefits, spiritual benefits in particular. All ordained of God, the one who created us, called us out of a world that is racing headlong to its own destruction. I'm sure we are all aware of that. Anytime you turn your TV on or whatever and you listen to what's going on in your world, you wonder, how can this continue in this way? And it gets worse every time you update yourself on the news and what's going on. It is God's plan and His command that we come out of that world. But what do you do when you come out of the world? What is the purpose at that point? To become like Him and His Son. To become like Him and His Son. Some of what I've covered today is some thoughts from Mr. Richard Thompson's presentation on humility at the Ministerial Regional Conference in Dallas this past June. And some is from two articles on the subject of humility from the June 1976 and May 1981 issues of the Good News magazine. Pretty good many years back. Very, very inspiring and very scripturally accurate. So to fully realize the tremendous value of true humility, we need to first take a look at what humility is not. Because a lot of folks don't really understand, you know. Case in point, if someone ever approaches you and say, "I am the most humble person in the world," we have a problem right there. Not that we have the problem, maybe that person that enunciates that kind of opinion has the problem. So let's look at a few ways in that humility is not. It's not what people may claim it to be. The first one I want to cover with you is it's not quick to judge or prejudge or condemn. That's what it doesn't do that. And we can go to Matthew 7 for the first scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1. Judge not. This is Jesus Christ teaching his disciples. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, a lot of people say, well, if that's true, then we can't judge anybody or anything. And that's not what it's saying here. That word judge would be better rendered to condemn or with the wrong attitude, to evaluate or judge a situation or someone such that it brings them down. That is not what this is talking about. It means not we should not condemn. There's only one who condemns, and that's Almighty God Himself. The next thing that humility is not, it doesn't willingly make use of vanity, pride, or any form of corrupted wisdom. It does not make the use of vanity, pride, or any form of corrupted wisdom. Any characteristic of a person that comes out in the form of these things is just exactly the opposite of humility. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as we go through the rest of the sermon today, we'll become very much aware of what an important subject true humility truly is, and that we cannot make progress in our relationship with God without it. And that'll be very evident as we make our way through the rest of the sermon. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. I'm sure we have all run into people that have a lot of vanity and pride in themselves. And when you see that, you wonder how God could call such a person. Well, He called me. Because this is the way I was. It's embarrassing to have to admit that, but I was that way. And things began to change when God began to call me. When did He begin to call me? First time I heard Mr. Herbert Armstrong was while I was still aboard ship in the Navy. When I heard him talk about Christmas being pagan, I thought, boy, this guy is really off his rocker, you know. And I was a self-proclaimed Catholic. In reality, I wasn't anything. But I asked someone for a Bible, and the only one in there that had a Bible was a Baptist. So I looked that up in the Bible, and I saw he was right. And things began to change for me right then. Not completely. But I really had to reevaluate myself as far as what I hoped to achieve in life. And it began to turn me in a different direction, a good direction. Number three of what humility is not. It's not self-consumed. Not self-consumed. Always exalting the self. You ever overhear a conversation where it says, well, you know, I was able to get this done today. And the other person says, oh, yeah, but you know, you don't know what it's like to have been through what I've been through. And it makes such a big deal out of what they're claiming to be more adventurous and some kind of you know, you don't know anything, you know, until you've been through what I've been through. And people talk like this when they go through their ailments sometimes. I'm sure you guys don't do that, do you? Come on, smile. It's easy to do. It's easy to do to exalt the self. Number four, we'll learn further that humility is not a doormat to be walked on. If you're a humble person in the truest sense of the word, as the scriptures bring out, you need to have this fear that people are going to walk all over you. There is great strength in becoming humble before God. An average person who has not yet been called simply just they do not understand this. Number five, what humility is not one who ignores the sanctity of human life. Now, we see a lot of that now. The sanctity of human life. God is the author of human life. He respects human life because He knows what His goals are for human life. When everything falls in place, and the biggest event that will help the ball really get rolling on that is the return of Jesus Christ, as we are well aware. But there are people who have a very low opinion of the sanctity of human life. Witness some of the things that are going on in those countries that are being besieged by this ISIS group now. Terrible. And indications are some of that is going to be brought to this country. Number six, what humility is not. It's not an exercise or overconfidence in oneself to the exclusion of others. It's not an exercise of overconfidence in oneself to the exclusion of others. Now, am I saying it's wrong to be confident? No, if you know what you're doing, you know how to accomplish the goals that you have set before you. It could be something you do on the job. It could be something you do in providing for your family. No, being confident in that means you have sought out the information you need to be successful and you move forward with it. Notice I said to the exclusion of others. And this is something that humility is not. Seven, humility does not engage in improper or rude conduct. Does not engage in improper or rude conduct. Now, there are different ways that this could occur. You ever see someone try to outdress everybody else? That's a possibility. Showing off, exaggerating in order to gain advantage. Or routinely engaging in off-color jokes. Talking the loudest over others in conversations. Humility does not use improper or demeaning language. It does not control a conversation in order to draw attention to oneself. It does not, nor does it ever, openly show disrespect for God's name. And you hear that so much in this country now, it's disgusting. It's truly disgusting. And as far as improper behavior, it does not display pride and arrogance, as these are indicators of the absence of humility. Those are some things that humility is not. So now it follows, we are going to look at what the true qualities of humility are. And this covers a considerable area, but I think it's needful we look at this from time to time, because we are charged, we are commanded by Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for us, to conduct ourselves in a manner that is a humble person, a person who humbles himself before God and before others. Why? Because that's how Jesus Christ lived while he was on this earth. And we're going to see that as we go through the rest of the sermon. Number one, true humility is not a quality we take unto ourselves. We don't make self-declarations. Look at how humble I am. True humility is known by one's actions, where their heart is, and how they arrived at that point. It is God who blesses the truly humble. It is God who blesses the truly humble. Isaiah 66. Familiar scripture, but it's good to go there from time to time. Isaiah 66. Verse 1. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Eternal. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit. Those are elements of true humility. Of a poor, of a contrite, this is not poor financially. This is poor and of a humble spirit, willing to submit in every way to what true humility is. True humility is the result of submission to God's way, the instruction of His Word. It's not something that we came up on our own. It's not something we declared ourselves to have. It is a result of submission to God's way and the willingness to change one's thinking into the way that he thinks until it's the same as the way God the Father and the Son think. Isaiah 55, let's look there please. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God declares here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Eternal." That being the case, we are already on shaky ground until we submit to God's ways and His thoughts and set ourselves to begin thinking that same way. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's how much difference there is in how we think and how God thinks before He calls us. And I submit to you that would be a lifelong goal to achieve. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God knows how you think. He knows how you express yourself. And he knows whether or not you are submissive to him. It's not a matter of us convincing him. It's a matter of us obeying him. And this word gives us everything we need to become truly humble. everything. It must become the way that we live and the way that we think. Number two, quality of true humility. Living one's life by the Word of God leads us to become humble. It leads us to become humble. There is no other way. Only God's way. Man's inborn nature cannot lead him to true humility apart from the influence of the mind of God. We must surrender the way we used to think and begin thinking like God thinks. That is how the Word of God leads us to become humble. The third quality of true humility. The life of a humble person is a 24/7 experience. A 24/7 experience. To say that we can remain humble and leave here and go about our existence after the Sabbath in a manner unlike the way we behave here is not being honest with ourselves, nor is it not being honest with God. It is a 24/7 experience. Once we set ourselves on the road that this God has provided by calling us and giving us His Spirit, which gives us the power to begin learning what humility is, once we are set on that road, we don't need to leave it. We do not need to leave it. It is a never-ending willingness to accept change and to never stop learning. The truly humble person will never stop learning. There's no point at which we'll be able to say, well, I've learned everything about being humble. Because we don't have a clue as to how much God is yet to teach us. And therefore it is a 24/7 experience. The fourth quality of true humility is a deeply abiding relationship with God, which makes it a very humbling experience. A deeply abiding relationship with God, which makes it a very humbling experience. We must empty ourselves of what is bad, which comes naturally with our sinful natures, and take on the nature of God's way of thinking. That is our responsibility if we are to become humble. We must empty ourselves of what is bad and take on the nature of God's way of thinking. You see, when God returns, when Jesus Christ returns and we are in the kingdom of God, let's say we are changed to spirit beings, we were in the kingdom of God, we'll become teachers. How will we be able to teach if we don't know what to teach? How will we be able to teach those people then who have never heard the truth of God's Word? Oh, we'll start out in an elementary fashion to be sure, which is how God started with us. Well, if we're not learning how to become humble now, how will we be able to be effective teachers in the kingdom of God? It doesn't reach a point of harmony with what the Scriptures teach. Humility is absolutely necessary to get close to God. I've heard people say, "Man, you know what? I sure would like to be able to get closer to God." This is how you do that. You go before your God and your Creator with a humble heart. And forget about what you want. Forget about what you want to accomplish. And focus yourself on what God wants you to learn from His Word. and talk to him about it. And you will start growing in humility. Colossians 3, let's go there. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 of Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Now, look at all these terms here, brethren. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You like challenges? This is a challenge. This is a challenge. And God is ready to walk with you right through it. But you've got to be ready to change. You've got to be ready to empty what is naturally bound up in us because of this characteristic of human nature and leave it behind and embrace God. Embrace God, embrace His ways. And these two verses here describe true humility. They describe it in a fantastic fashion. The fifth quality of true humility. Humility always moves forward. It never goes backward. Losing ground in humility is unspeakable. That's losing ground with your relationship with God. It cannot stand still or become stagnant. It must continue to grow. It must increase 24/7. For the dedicated Christian, this is a life of continually growing in humility. It has to increase, or we are not going anywhere. Mr. Thompson brought that out in his presentation. The humble person must continually access spiritual knowledge in a growing relationship with God. That's 24/7. If we don't start by going before God on our knees every day, and beseeching God to teach you what you need to know, to give you the power to change, and to give you all you need to be spiritually successful 24/7, without which we will not see God. If that puts pressure on you, good, because it sure puts pressure on me. I've got a lot of room to grow, too. So I know whereof you speak if you feel that way. Philippians 2. Let's go there. Philippians 2. We are familiar with verse 5 of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is a requirement. How can you go into the kingdom of God and not have the mind of Jesus growing in you? It just won't happen. It just won't happen. But look at verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Are we doing that? Are we asking God to help us come to that point? You see, every day is another opportunity to go before the throne of God. And if you forgot what the throne of God looks like, you need to look it up again in the Scriptures, in Ezekiel 1. There is no fantasy in Hollywood that could ever come close to that. And this is where your prayers go when you talk to your Creator. The book of Revelation points that out. Those prayers are up there before the throne of God. Coming to know God and Jesus well requires the kind of spiritual growth that seeks development from the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ must be set within us. It must become part of who we are. We must seek to conduct ourselves in a way that is very, very close to at least, you know, as much as we are able with the limitations we have, to the way he behaved himself, the way he walked and talked. And he did it from a position of humility. Colossians 1. We need to remember this verse because it describes what God wants for us and what we have been given. Of such a rich heritage. Verse 27 of Colossians 1, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we are humble, God does show us what we need to change. You ever say, wow, boy, I wish God would show me what to change? This is how. When we are humble, God show us what we need to change. To always approach Him in prayer with the mindset that you know you're not worth very much. And that you're willing to let Him mold and shape you in the way that He desires. That's humility. It completely gets away from thinking spiritual things all by yourself. And far be it from doing this to tell God how you think you ought to be spiritually. He knows how you should be. He knows. And to submit to Him with the whole heart, which is the example we saw in Philippians 2, 7 and 8 that Jesus had. Yes, He's the Son of God. But as a man, He humbled Himself. What better example could we have? The sixth element of true humility. The more we know about the Father and His Son, the more humble we become. The more we know about the Father and His Son, the more humble we become. 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 5. We heard a really fine sermon a while ago about young people being of interest to God. Here you are, young people. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. We need to clothe ourselves with humility of that mindset that Jesus has. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, God is perfection. Perfection of character, and He never makes a mistake. He never lies. He can't lie. So everything He gives us is true. It is the truth, indeed the truth of God. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Verse 15 of Isaiah 57. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We're going to run into circumstances and situations that's going to test that mind of Christ that should be developed in us. And sometimes we need to be encouraged, and God is ready to encourage. God loves the heart of the humble person. The seventh point of true humility. Jesus leads us from a heart of humility. He leads us from a heart of humility. Our lifelong conduct must be based on the humility of Jesus Christ. The life of a Christian is a life of learning. How much are we willing to give up that we might learn that mind of Jesus Christ? How much are we willing to give up to learn that mind of Jesus Christ? We must remain teachable in order to become humble. If we're not teachable, then how can God work with us? Psalm 86. Psalm chapter 86. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Eternal. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. That can never be accomplished unless it's from a base of humility. This is what God looks for. See, this is one of the things we can pray for and ask God to teach us. And in so doing, and to approach Him with a humble heart. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Eternal. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. This is a psalm of David, the young man who loved God so much that God called him a man after his own heart. Are you a person after God's own heart? You can be. We have to be able to learn what humility is and to embrace it and accept it and make it the signature statement of how we live. Not the way we used to live. Not the way that world out there lives. No, it's heading headlong into its own destruction. God is a God of life. And He gives life, eternal life, to those who are humble before Him. Psalm 32. 32. Verse 8. Once again, He's assuring us, that He's ready to teach us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I love this next phrase. I will guide you with my eye. We should want to be guided by God's eye. We should want to have God hold us in His hand and to arrive there we must be humble and submissive in every way. The eighth point of true humility. The humble person counts others better than themselves. That is not easy. We all live in a competitive world, and looking at others better than ourselves is one of the strong points of the mind of Jesus Christ. And we need to go there. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2 again. And we'll start with verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, which is okay. Yeah, we can't just let go and let everything slip away from us. No, we have responsibilities. Not just for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, we can pray for other people. Pray that a situation they may be going through will receive God's direction and blessing. That He will guide them with His eye. That He will hold them in His hand. We can ask for that. Be concerned about other people. Let's look at David's humility toward others in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Verse 17 of Psalm 71. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. conducting our lives in true humility will display something. Not in a vain way at all. People will wonder what you are all about because they like what they see. But if all they see is this competitive spirit, conceit, and exaggerations, and just, you know, we saw the list when we first started. Well, he's just like everybody else. Yeah. Do people see you out in public? And what they do, they see an honest person, an honest man, an honest woman, an honest teenager. I had an experience, it's been a good many years ago now, a little supermarket there in town close to where we live. And I was waiting in line there at the cash register checkout. And this lady ahead of me, she must have been in her 80s, and she dropped a dollar. And I went to pick it up for her, to hand it to her, and she beat me to it. And she says, "Oh, no, you don't." And the lady at the cash register, she said, "Not him." She said, "No, ma'am. He was surely giving you your dollar. He was trying to be courteous to you." And she looked up and smiled at me. And you know what? That goes to God's credit. That did not come out of my nature. That was God's credit. And, you know, we can experience similar things like that. Holding the door open from somebody. Somebody you don't know from Adam's house cat. Unless you did know Adam's house cat, but anyway. But you see what I'm talking about. Simple things. Humble things. And when they find out what church you attend, just might. They say, "Wow, you know, maybe I better look into this." I'm not predicting anything. Please don't think that. But if our example is a good one that makes people want to look into it, you could be, in a manner of speaking, preaching the gospel by your humility. You know, it's not just right here in services, is it? It's anywhere we may be. Treating people with kindness and all these characteristics we saw in the scripture. Because people don't see enough of that anymore. They truly do not. Excuse me. Let me get some of this right here. Brethren, our conduct is so important. Not just from the point of view of humility, but from the point of view of who it is that you worship and how that God has taught you the proper manner of conduct before any and everybody. Yeah. So that, you know, there'll be a good report, hopefully for all of us, from those who are without. Or not in the church. The ninth point about true humility has to do with the specific teachings of Jesus on the subject of humility. And the first one of those, Jesus' example of humility in washing the disciples' feet, was evident in the New Testament Passover service that we also keep, that we follow in his example. John 13, let's look at it. John chapter 13. But when we wash one another's feet, we know what the purpose of that is. And we realize that other person is a child of God, just like you are. And that other person is blessed with being included in the plans that God has for all in whom dwells His Spirit to be in His kingdom, to be His children and His family. And it humbles you to realize that person has been given that kind of a rich blessing to ingratiate their lives to the Creator of all life. John 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus Christ gave us a wonderful example of a spiritual principle expressed in a physical act of washing one another's feet. Let's go next to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Where Jesus taught about us humbling ourselves as a little child. Matthew 18, verse 4. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Excuse me. "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Jesus taught humility, humbling oneself. He knew the value of that. He knew how it pleases the Father. Let's look also at Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Wow, surely they're not humble, are they? No, I do not think so. "Who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Excuse me. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Tremendous blessing there from our Savior. Next is humility and fasting. When we are well fed and enjoy abundances, humility is usually not uppermost in our thoughts, is it? Humility and fasting is getting away from the physical and renewing one's focus on the spiritual, thereby getting back on the track. Psalm 35. Verse 11, Psalm 35. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. That's not easy to do. That's not easy to do. Jesus taught that we should love our enemies. Not love their behavior. Not love what they do, possibly to hurt you. But to love the fact that they will have a chance. That God has laid it down in His Word that He wishes of all things that all people would prosper and be in health. Matthew 6. Let's go there. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is conducting oneself in the way God has laid down in His Word. And it brings blessings from God. So even in fasting, we are to be humble. The last point of true humility is, a humble person is one who is self-abased. Self-abased. And is the raw material from which the Almighty Creator fashions such into a member of His family. That's important. A humble person is one who is self-abased and is the raw material from which the Almighty Creator fashions such into a member of His family. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Let's go to Romans 8 next. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And to come to that point takes leading life with a humble heart, a humble mindset, so that we can be the raw material from which God fashions into a member of His family. That's what God's goals are for us. True humility always seeks the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All of those are elements of humility. Every single one of them. And the fruit of the Spirit is available to us through that Holy Spirit that lives within us. Humility requires us to get down on our knees every day. It's that important. Without God, we can do nothing. We are nothing without God. Humility is something we never stop learning. The only true road to humility is found in the Word of God. Nowhere else. Dig into it and keep learning. In order to be in God's kingdom, we need to acquire and grow in true humility on a daily basis. It must move forward. It must never become stagnant. Only those who are teachable, who have this personal realization of their own worth compared to God's greatness, will inherit God's kingdom to arrive on the earth at the return of Jesus Christ, who is our perfect example of true humility. Jesus Christ is our teacher. Let's all follow our teacher's wonderful example of true humility.